really care for them, you're going to want them to have this message, The Secret of the Lord. $20, Save America Ministries, get it on our website, saveus.org. Pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Pray for the candidates for our country. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. What in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And you need to know that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because it's going to be open lines, and certainly the guest we had scheduled this hour backed out of the last minute, didn't have a chance to get anybody, and so we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. Like to know what you'd like to talk about. You can talk about anything you want to, but I thought maybe we'd just start talking about what's going to happen this coming year, because I don't know what's going to happen this next year, but I do know that it is going to be one of the most challenging years of your lifetime. And, of course, it has to, partly to do with the fact that there are all sorts of prophecies about this year and whether these things are happening spontaneously or whether somebody is actually working to have the events going to take place in this coming year correspond with the ancient prophecies? I really don't know. But I do know that everything points to the fact that this is going to be probably one of the most dramatic and dangerous years of your lifetime. Now, first of all, we know that Nostradamus had written about the year 2012. We know that the ancient Mayan calendar ends in 2012. Does this mean the world is going to end? Absolutely not. Does it mean that Christ is going to come this coming year, or the Antichrist is coming? Absolutely not. But I do believe that there are going to be momentous events happening at this time. Oh, according to my friend Tom Horn, who's written the book Apollyon Rising 2012, and when I read I wrote the foreword to the book and read the book and then wrote the foreword to it, I was a little skeptical about this idea that 2012 was going to be a momentous time just because of the Mayan writings and Nostradamus. But, of course, there's many of the ancient Hebrew writers, I mean, writing a couple of hundred years ago, talked about the year 2012 being a momentous time. And then, of course, we do know that certainly our friend Lindsay Williams, and we've interviewed Lindsay many, many times, but back in 2008, he was talking to Ken Frohm, and Ken Frohm was certainly one of the insiders. He, how far he was up in the Brotherhood of Darkness, I don't know, but he was president of ARCO when he retired. He was very, very close to the people who ran the international oil business. And Ken Frohm had actually told Lindsay, Ken was dying at this time, and they'd been very close friends, certainly 30 years previously. And Ken told Lindsay several things. He said, first of all, before 2012 ends, why the dollar will be dead. Now, he did not describe what he meant. Did he mean the dollar was going to be no longer the currency? No, I don't think so at all. I think he meant that it was going to lose its predominant position as the currency of the world, because the dollar is the world's reserve currency, and I think this is all going to change. The other momentous thing that Ken told Lindsay before Ken died was that Sydney, when, not if, but when the European currency collapses, you've got 2 weeks to get out of the dollar. When the European currency collapses, you've got 2 weeks to get out of the dollar. He was talking, we're talking about 4 years ago, about the fact that the European currency was going to collapse. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and said that we're looking forward to hearing from you, but we're just talking about some of the things that we have been told as we...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Talk about whatever you would like to talk about. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I was simply pointing out that there has been a plan going back to the time of Nimrod. And we're talking about 2,300 years before Christ was born, why Nimrod tried to unite the world. And because at that point, God had a plan. He intervened and dispersed the people throughout the world. But there have, since that time, been secret societies and so-called esoteric organizations, and they've all had the same goal, the fulfillment of Nimrod's ancient plan, plans laid out by Semiramis, Ceraminus, and basically the whole idea is to bring about this one world government. And of course, she was a prototype. She was known as the Whore of Babylon because of her promiscuity after her husband died. And she became the prototype of Isis and Isis and all of the female gods and goddesses, or at least all the female goddesses. And of course, she is personified in the Statue of Liberty in the harbor in New York. I mean, this is simply was to represent either Isis or Semiramis or Diana. I mean, what? Why do we have a woman holding a torch there in the harbor in New York City? We look upon the Statue of Liberty as representing liberty. But, of course, basically, the Statue of Liberty was presented to America by the Masons, who are part and parcel of this, the ancient mystery religions, and they're carrying on the tradition. Not that the average Mason has any idea what this is all about, but the people at the upper echelons of Masonry in the 33rd degree and the degrees above 33rd degree, that most Masons don't even know exist, but there are degrees above 33rd degree, and this, of course, is when the people begin to study the ancient secret societies and the ancient writings, or as they describe it, the Arcanum and the Ancanorum, and that's a definition that was given by Mandy P. Hall in his book, Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. They're basically, as Mandy P. Hall said, Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity. And out of fraternity, which of course is made of men who want to have a good time and do good and be beneficial to the community, but an inner fraternity that studies the Arcanum and the Ancanorum, which of course is the secret of the secret of secrets, and that is of course tracing the goal of these ancient secret societies to the present time and their ultimate goal to bring about a one world government, a one world financial system, a one world religion of the destruction of Christianity, and that's why of course they won't allow us to have God or prayer in our schools, and why certainly American foreign policy in the Near East and Middle East is to topple the existing secular governments and then to install the radical Islamic government, certainly in Iraq and Afghanistan, to drive the Christians out. There are no Christians left in Afghanistan, thanks to American policy and installing Sharia law there. There are only a handful of Christians left in Iraq, thanks to American policy, but they can't let the average American realize that the people who control both of our political parties and control our government have an intense hatred of Christianity. And, of course, as this thing develops further, there's going to be terrible persecution of Christians in this country. And, of course, it will be brought on because the Christians have not understood the secret societies, their goal and purpose, or that these organizations for thousands of years have planned on America being established so that it could be used to bring about this one world government. And the major driving force behind globalism today is American foreign policy. They took over control of our government probably 50 to 75 years ago. They control both political parties. They control our military, and if you want to get ahead in the military, you go ahead with this whole program of establishing a world government. Then they control the banks, they control the corporations, they control the leaders of both political parties, they control the educational system, and they indoctrinate our youth and our college students in this whole idea of the importance of globalism, of world government, of world trade, and how wonderful this is going to be for America. And of course, it isn't at all. It's simply a justification for transferring America's wealth and jobs and prosperity and industries overseas. And we've already sent about 8 million of our jobs overseas. And those that are left here, well, they will be transferred away as well. We've already destroyed certainly our automotive industry in large part. We're not making anywhere near as many cars as we used to. Our major steel industry is gone. Certainly our textile industry has been intentionally sent overseas. Our electronic industry, just try to buy a a television set manufactured in the United States today, and you can't do it. It's all manufactured overseas, and this is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. They've destroyed our lumber industry in the name of preserving the spotted owl. They've destroyed our mining industry in the name of preserving the environment. They're destroying the fishing industry here in the name of preserving the ecology. And step by step, they've destroyed the agricultural industry in the Central Coast of California in the name of preserving a three-head smelt. And basically, it's all about transferring our industries, our manufacturing, our agriculture to other countries, and destroying the wealth of this nation, raising living standards throughout the world, and lowering living standards in America. And when you understand that, everything begins to make sense. Otherwise, you have to scratch your head and you say, how could our leaders be just so dense and just so foolish? And why? You know, the popularity of Congress, I think, is about 11%. And some people say, how could the support for Congress be so low? And I look at what's going on and I say, how could it be so high? How could it be 11% of our people think that the Congress is doing such a good job? They're not doing a good job. There are some people there who are trying to do a good job, but you'll never hear about them. What they are doing is going right along with this globalist agenda as we transfer our wealth and our jobs, our manufacturing overseas. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And of course, this is open lines. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Because, of course, I'm simply outlining that what we see today is the carrying out of an age-old plan, and to use the wealth and to use the military power of the United States to bring all nations under control. We're moving our military forces into Australia. Well, this last month, we moved military forces into Uganda. We have special forces units. These are professional trained killers in 75 nations there to keep those nations under control. We have military bases in 130 nations. Why do we have military bases in 130 nations? It's to control those nations. Why do you think we still have troops stationed in Germany? What are we talking about? 55, 65 years after World War II ended. Why would we have troops stationed in Japan 65 years after World War II ended, or in Korea 55 years after the Korean War ended? It's so we can control those countries, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. And the average American has no idea what's going on because nobody explains it to them. That the major policy of the United States is to have a global empire. There's only one congressman who speaks out on this subject. There's only one political candidate who's trying to get the American people to understand that we need to protect America. We should not have our troops all throughout the world. First of all, it's wrong. Our purpose of our military was to protect America, not to dominate other countries and to go around the world killing people. We probably killed a million people in Iraq, and who really cares? We've toppled the governments in Egypt today and there. The women and men, women are being raped and the men are being killed. Are things any better in Egypt? No, they're nowhere near as good as they were when Mubarak was there. At least we had a stable society. And now we have a totally unstable society, as we have in Tunisia, as we have in Libya, as we're going to very, very soon have in Syria as we topple that government. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And what does this all have to do with Christmas? It has nothing to do with Christmas. It has everything to do with Christmas. Because as an evangelical Christian, I can see, of course, the spiritual forces which are behind this effort to bring about a one-world government. And as I see the unfolding of these events, it convinced me all the more that the story of the Bible is true, and because we're told that these things would come to pass. And if you haven't seen Pastor Billy Crone's wonderful series, the Final Countdown, where he talks about the prophecies for this time in the history of mankind, prophecies written several thousand years ago about the return of the children of Israel to the Holy Land, and of course this move towards a one world government, and the false prophets and leaders coming up, why we're seeing the fulfillment of the prophecies of our Lord today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. It's open lines. Would love to hear from you and what you think about what's going on. Because, Chris, the more I see the unfolding of current events, the more I'm convinced of the validity of the Scriptures, the fact that God does rule in the affairs of men. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden.
all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
It simply says a lot of the things we talk about, and certainly is very supportive of Congressman Ron Paul, who is the only congressman who's asking the questions, why are we sending our troops throughout the world, you know, picking fights with people? Why are we occupying the Muslim world? Why are we surprised when the Muslims are angry when they're over there occupying their land and just bombing their cities and killing their women and children? And how do we justify going into Iraq and killing probably close to a million people? Is Iraq better off today than when we went in? I don't know if you noticed, but within the last 48 hours, I think about 8 or 10 bombs have gone off there in Baghdad. 40 people have been killed. You didn't see this sort of thing before America went in and totally disrupted that country and took a first world nation and turned it into a third world nation with intermittent electricity and intermittent water and intermittent sewers and very poor jobs. And about the only thing that's been good for is because some of our corporations have gone over there and quartered the oil, but other than that, why, we've accomplished absolutely nothing other than to antagonize the Muslim world. Do you have any other thoughts, Dean, you'd like to express?
No, I'd like to open up the lines for some other callers, man. I appreciate your program. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome, and you have a wonderful, wonderful and blessed season, because remember that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. God bless you. Okay, fine. Let's go to Ernie calling us from Spokane. My telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Ernie. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
First of all, I want to wish you and your staff a Merry Christmas.
We appreciate that. And believe me, we've got a wonderful, wonderful staff, and we have to be very careful who we hire, because most of the conservative and Christian and even the liberal organizations have been infiltrated by the Brotherhood of Darkness. I don't think we have, and I think they're all loyal people who share your concern and my concern about what's happening to the world. Let me just once again get my telephone number out, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Ernie, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I'd just like to express to all the listeners out there to give them a little challenge so we can save our great republic and the way we live our life and won't be put in bondage someday, to tell 10 people, every person out there, tell 10 people about this radio station and Alex Jones and other people, and get this information and tell them not to be afraid of it.
Well, I think, you know, that you are so lucky up there in Spokane to have Tom Reed and the American Christian Network up there. You know, he's doing a great job. And this is the area, one of the areas we get the maximum response from is the Spokane area, the southeastern part of the state of Washington, although hopefully we're going to have some good footprint in Texas here very, very soon. But certainly Alex is doing a great job, and people can go to his website, PrisonPlanet.com, that's PrisonPlanet.com, and we often ask people to pray for Alex Jones because he's on the front lines, and I don't want anything to happen to him, because basically if they're going to come after somebody, they're going to go after Alex. I'm afraid what would happen if they do Alex, and I'd probably be next on the line, Alex, either me or Joyce. Riley is doing a wonderful job reaching people. So we ask our listeners to pray for Alex and to pray for Joyce. They're courageous people who are giving everything in this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men, for the survival of Christian civilization. And I think that's well worthwhile to ask people to actually pray for Alex and to tell people about Alex and his wonderful ministry. You can see him on the internet, and he's doing a great job. Incidentally, I would I suggest people go to our website, our homepage, probably maybe after this weekend. We put up a script there, and we're hoping people will look at it. And it's simply a very, very simple means by which they can call people in their telephone book. And we ask them, of course, to go to their telephone book. If their name is Jones, go to the J's and start calling people whose name starts with J in alphabetical order. And we just say, you know, my name is Mary Jones. I'm in your neighbor. But I certainly am calling on behalf of Radio Liberty, a radio program that brings you the news that's ordinarily suppressed. And you listen to the program and then just tell them, you know, if you're concerned about what's happening to America, if you want to know why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools, why the economy is collapsing and what you're going to have to do to survive, you ought to start listening to Radio Liberty.
Well, that's great. I didn't know you did that. So,
it's up there. It'll be posted.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
And Ernie simply calling about how deeply he feels about what's going on and how important it is we tell others. But Ernie, of course, recognizes, I think so many of our listeners do, that this is a spiritual battle and we're going to have to rely upon God and going to have to rely upon Him far more this coming year than we ever have before. Any parting thought, Ernie?
No, thank you very much for having me on.
Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. This is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, and of course, we We have suddenly had a cancellation of the regularly scheduled guests, and so we have nothing prepared. And so if you have something you would like to talk about or a thought you would like to have heard, not only across America but throughout the world, again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And through the miracle of the Internet, through the miracle of satellite, and through the miracles of the other things that we have, we can reach people all throughout the world. We have listeners in Australia. We have listeners in England. We have listeners in Switzerland. And, of course, thank goodness we've never had this before. And I believe, of course, all of these things are coming to pass together. We have something that for the first time in all history, the opportunity for average people like me and Sydney, like Alex Jones and like Joyce Riley and Sydney, like Congressman Paul, to reach people all throughout the world. Well, right now, let's go to Bill, who's calling in from Arizona. And if you'd like to, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Bill. How are we doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. I have a simple question.
Okay, go right ahead.
Why is Jesus Christ not mentioned by name in either the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution?
Well, basically, of course, he is not mentioned by name specifically because everybody assumed everybody knew what they were talking about. If you look at the Constitution, it is signed in the day of our Lord. And everybody at that time certainly acknowledged that our Lord was Jesus Christ. And as far as the Declaration of Independence was actually, why so the numerous references to God, and basically as far as the majority of the people, I think it's 52 or 53 of the people who signed the Declaration were evangelical Christians. But certainly in the first phrases of the Declaration, they talk about nature's God, nature's plan, nature's God. They talk about the supreme ruler of the universe. They talk certainly about the divine will. They talk about the creator. Everybody knew that. It was so self-evident. Anything else?
Okay, well, in the Constitution, it's pretty clear that they regard a treaty, once it's been ratified by the Senate, to be essentially equivalent in terms of supremacy to the Constitution itself. In the treaty with Tripoli, in Article 11, it says that this is not in any way, shape, or form a Christian country. What do they possibly mean by that?
Well, basically, this is in the writings of one of the people, and they were trying to not offend the Muslims. And because this is a specific statement that was made, but it did not, of course, affect the fact that most people believed America was a Christian nation on four separate terms, four separate occasions. The Supreme Court held after that treaty was signed that this was a Christian nation. Are you acquainted with a case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States?
Not by
well,
that
I'd
name,
suggest no. That you get that and you read the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. And, of course, you could actually find that in one of my newsletters. Go. Do you have access to a computer?
Occasionally.
Well, why don't you go to a computer and the search engine, write in Radio Liberty and then case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. And we've recorded there the salient points of the Supreme Court decision in 1892, long after that treaty with that was signed, I think, in the early 1800s, long after that, where the Supreme Court gave all reasons, about 50 reasons, why we were a Christian nation. Now, are you a Christian? Are you an evangelical Christian? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord?
No, I'm not an evangelical anything.
All right, fine. So basically then, Chris, you're trying to undermine the belief that America is a Christian nation?
No, I'm trying to understand where it comes from because it's not written down anywhere.
Well, it was self-evident, but it was written down.
Let me just finish. There are
four Supreme Court decisions. Four Supreme Court decisions that said that America was a Christian nation, and if you did your homework, you'd know that. But go to the case.
Decision.
Please let me finish, and then I'll let you have your say. Please go and read the decision by the Supreme Court. It's on my website, the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States, and it was 1892-1893. Would you do that for me, and then give me a call? Okay. I guess we lost Bell, but basically, there are people who want to who are not Christians who want to undermine our belief that America was a Christian nation, and I just hope that that Bill will at least look into this and study the history of our nation and understand that 52 or 53 of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence. And certainly almost all, I think there were 56 people who signed the Constitution, and certainly all but one or two of them were evangelical Christians. And they understood, they weren't all of the same branch of Christianity, but they all acknowledged the divinity of Jesus Christ, at least those who were Christians. Now, certainly there are a couple that weren't, and they wouldn't acknowledge the divinity. And Thomas Jefferson did not acknowledge the divinity of Jesus Christ, even though he thought he was the greatest teacher of all time, but he could not accept that the supernatural element of Christianity. Well, let's go. Let's see who we have here on the line. We have John calling from Spokane, and again our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, John, go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Stan. Merry Christmas.
And to you, too.
And, well, I've been kind of puzzling over something lately and wanting to get your opinion on it. I've heard various commentators, including Lindsay Williams, bring out the idea that there's likely a coming war in the Middle East, that the Arab Spring, so-called, will not prove to bear peace or democracy, and that ultimately will lead to a wider conflict in the Middle East. But my question is, do you have any idea of approximately when this is likely to happen, and the war, that is, and do you have any idea what the triggering event might be?
No, I really don't. I mean, basically, I'm not even sure how this is going to line up. Is it going to be with Iran? Is it going to be with all of the Muslim world? Is it certainly, what part will Russia and China play? I don't have any inside information. I do believe, of course, there's going to be a great war there. And I can tell you without any question there's going to be a great war. How could I be sure? Because I've read the script. It's in the Bible. And if you certainly want to read Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17 and Ezekiel 38:39, you could even tell who all the players are. So that's Ezekiel 38:39, that's Isaiah 17, Psalm 83. And you'll have a lot, you'll know as much as I do there, because we're simply reading God's word, and he's telling us about this terrible war that's coming. Anything else?
Well, just another observation. I know there are many people that believe that there will be perhaps one more great world war before the War of Armageddon.
Right.
In other words, there'll be two distinct wars rather than just the Battle of Armageddon to end things off for this age. But the question is, there has to be kind of a delicate balance in there, because the next world war, as the world wars have been progressing, the next world war promises to be a multiple of level of violence compared to each previous war, which itself escalated. And so on the one hand, nuclear weapons are theory possible in the next world war of one sort or another. So, and we know that the motto of many one world types is out of chaos, order will come, you know. But if this is such a violent war that is due to come, how can we be sure that there will be much of a world left afterward for them to rule over?
We're just going to have to wait and see how it fills out. No one knows it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do believe a terrible war is coming, and I believe it's going to involve the nations that are described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I do believe that probably Damascus will be destroyed as prophesied in Isaiah 17. I think we're going to see terrible times. But I'm not going to tell you that I have any more information than that. You know as much as I do. I'm going to have to rely upon what it says in the scriptures. And we're all going to have to rely more on God and our Lord. The only thing that's going to see us through, we make all of our preparations. It would be foolish not to make the preparations. But the most important preparation, the spiritual preparation. Do you have a personal relationship with our Lord?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan.
Well, then that's the best protection you got. And that is going to be fascinating to see this thing unfold. I hope you keep listening here and give us a call from time to time, okay?
Yes, and I hope other listeners who are probably enjoying your programs as much as I do, who are not Christians, will certainly give it some thought, some very deep thought, because I know you, Dr. Stan, and I know that I can relate that it really gives a lot of comfort to my life, knowing the Lord and through Jesus Christ. And in these troubling times, you know, it's something that can give a foundation to you where there appears to be none.
If the Bible is a lie, there is no hope at all. I mean, we live, we die, that's the end of it. But we have hope because we believe in the promises of the Bible. And we tell our listeners, and we're trying to do this more now than ever before, John. We're telling them to go ahead and start, get out the book of John and start reading it. God bless you. Thanks for calling and have a wonderful and glorious Christmas. Bye-bye.
Thank you and same to you.
And let's go to Nick, who's calling us. And hi, Nick, where are you calling from?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay, well, hey, it's good. We have a station there in Lexington. It's glad to know you're listening. Do you have a question or comment?
I just want to thank you first for your program. I have two things that I'd like to talk about. The first thing I'd like to talk about is to kind of hear your thoughts about the way this country is going and who you think would arise even out of the candidates that we have right now in front of us to really lead this country back into the place that we originally came from. To see if you have any thoughts about any of the candidates, what you think about upcoming election.
Well, basically, of course, I will be casting my vote for Ron Paul. I believe, of course, he is sincere. I believe he's a Christian. I've known Ron for 40 years. I don't know him well, but I've met him. I've followed his career. And I believe he's an honest man. But Ron Paul can't save America. If we don't get God back into this country, nothing is going to save America. So basically, of course, we want to be involved in politics and certainly utilize this to reach people. But this is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle being fought on the political, ideological, cultural, financial battlefield. But no one man is going to save America. Only God can do that. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I agree with that. One other thing I wanted to say is if you've had a chance to read, there's a new book out called Heaven is for Real. Have you heard of that book?
No, I really haven't. What's it talking about?
It's talking about a young boy. He's not quite four. He's the son of a Westland church pastor. And he has a heavenly visitation. He almost died, and he has experience with Jesus and in heaven in the throne room.
Well, I have heard about that. Yes, I have read the book though.
Okay, it's I actually just read it today. I actually sat in the bookstore and read it from cover to cover in one setting, and it was one of the most incredible books I've read in a long time.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe we could talk about it after Christmas. Right now we've got a full board, but it sounds intriguing, and I remember hearing about it, and it sounds very intriguing. People do have supernatural experiences. Certainly we've known people who have been mediums and fortune tellers and people who have had these experiences, so I don't scoff at them. I said I don't believe everything I read, but I do know that there's some people that God has blessed with the ability to have suddenly experienced his presence. That's all I can say. But thank you so very much for calling. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
You too.
And let's go to Leslie calling from Tri-Cities. Hi, Leslie. Do you have a question or comment?
I wanted to ask if it would be all right if I give the listeners, we don't get Alex Jones here, but when I was looking for your 3 o'clock show on the telephone, I got the generic number for Genesis and how they can get his show.
Sure, you go right ahead and get that out.
It's 1-760-569-7700, and then you press 5. Pound.
All right, you have one more time.
1-760-569-7700, and then press 5 pound.
All right, fine. Hang on there. Well, Leslie, are you a regular Alex Jones listener?
I just probably maybe a week or 10 days ago.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the 4 gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Bill, who was calling, he read the Mayflower Compact, the writings of Washington, the writings of which, what was it of Abraham Lincoln you wanted him to read?
Yeah, the Thanksgiving Proclamations of Washington and Lincoln, specifically Washington 1789 and 1795 Thanksgiving Proclamations, and Abraham Lincoln's Proclamation of 1863.
All right, very good suggestions. If you really want to know, basically, of course, we have books on this subject, but of course, I suggest that the Supreme Court decisions, your suggestions are equally valid. God bless you, Ron, and have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas season. And we'll be back with you on, Tuesday evening. I'm taking Monday off.
Okay, well, Merry Christmas to everyone.
And Merry Christmas to you, too. God bless. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. So that you can tell, we have a tremendous listening audience up there in the state of Washington. We have an opportunity to get into the market. Sydney in Dallas-Fort Worth is the fifth largest radio market in the country. It'll be a drive-time program in the morning. And the price is very, very economical. If we could get a commitment to help us, I would be able to sign a contract for that. And, of course, they would simply replay our previous evening's program for 2 hours. It's an excellent opportunity. So and it's an excellent station. We've checked it out. And they approached us just 2 days ago, and certainly will want to do that. If you are in a position to help us financially, we'd appreciate hearing from you, and you can specifically stipulate you'd like your funds to go for the Dallas-Fort Worth station. And if you're not, though, in a position to help financially, we know many people aren't, we ask you then, of course, to pray for Alex Jones, to pray for Joyce Riley, to pray for Congressman Ron Paul, because he's risking his life. Ladies and gentlemen, these wicked people we're talking about do kill people. They haven't thought anything at all about the fact they've killed almost a million people over in Iraq. They haven't thought at all about the fact that they sent our boys over to fight a no-win war in Vietnam, because we know we lost 58,000 American boys, but we also killed a million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese in a war that we never intended to win. We sent our boys there as a diversion so they could bring in Medicare and Medicaid and rebuild our cities and the new departures in health and education and welfare. That's what Vietnam was all about. It was a phony war. How could I say that? Well, I was personally told by William H. Sullivan, the American ambassador to Laos at that time, and by General Lewis Wald, a four-star Marine general, we could have won the war in 6 weeks. All we had to do was invade North Vietnam. We never did that because we weren't allowed to win the war. We fought there for 10 years, all the while financing the Russians, who were financing the North Vietnamese, who were financing the Viet Cong, because if we didn't do that, we couldn't have had a war. And these wicked people who control both political parties and make mockery out of this concept of democracy and representative government, these wicked people used Vietnam as a diversion so they could restructure our society. You want the verification? You need to get our four-tape set on Vietnam, the untold story. It's a four-tape set. It's an excellent, well worthwhile getting. Simply on Vietnam. And, of course, then you need to get my interview with Professor Sutton. You can see it on DVD. You need to get Professor Sutton's books, The Best Enemy Money Could Buy. My DVD is called The Best Enemy Money Could Buy as well. And then, of course, we hope you get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. But the most important thing is, remember, the reason for the season is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the hope for America. Not in politics, not in Sydney electing a candidate, although we should work for it. But we need to bring God back to America. Merry Christmas. Oh, a land that's free.
grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, because for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who formerly a senior editor of the New American Magazine. Now I think he's the managing editor of the Republic Magazine. He has his own blog. And he of course, writes our monthly newsletter, and hopefully we'll be getting a new one from him one of these days. But I know it's Christmas season, and there's so many things to do, William. What are we going to be talking about this evening?
I think that in light of your insightful and consistently repeated refrain about illusion being enthroned and reality being consigned to the periphery, it's a worthwhile undertaking this evening to talk about the most recent campaign to vilify Ron Paul. And I think you probably referred to this before with your listeners, and I know that most of your listeners are probably in a broad sense sympathetic with Ron Paul and the positions that he espouses. Respect to the Constitution and the folly of foreign war and the concentrated evil that is the Federal Reserve. You've probably been following what's happened over the last couple of weeks, but it just is worth looking at the remarkable fact that in a week that has seen the death of Kim Jong-il, the mass-murdering communist dictator of North Korea, this is somebody who, through starvation, aided and abetted by Washington, has killed tens of thousands of his subject people and continued to maintain perhaps the most splendid example of a hermetically sealed totalitarian society that human history has yet produced. You've seen him die. You've seen a couple of unmistakable overtures toward a war with Iran that would be devastating toward the world. You've seen the persistence of the campaign of a proxy war and drone war in places like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, and elsewhere. And just within the last couple of weeks, we've seen the domestic use of remotely piloted surveillance drones operated by the military to arrest a nondescript and not particularly interesting farmer in North Dakota. All these things are happening, and yet huge amounts of bandwidth and broadcast time and an immense number of column issues have been devoted to this entirely confected media campaign to depict Ron Paul as a covert racist on the basis of a handful of quotations that have been orphaned from their context and excised from oblivion in newsletters that were published over a decade and a half ago that were written by people other than Ron Paul in a newsletter that was part of a project in which he was a minority owner. And on the basis of this handful of supposedly shocking and intolerable and intolerant statements, the fact that Mr. Paul has spent 40 years of his life as an advocate of individual liberty, irrespective of incidental characteristics of the individual, and repudiating in a plenary fashion the use of plundered wealth and government coercion and collectivism in all forms, all that stuff is supposedly to be eclipsed by the fact that these newsletters are published 15 years ago and that they offend the sensibilities of the perpetually outraged. That's what the news media, the opinion cartel, has been focusing on, because Ron Paul is not a media manufactured candidate. I think that perfectly illustrates what you say about illusion versus reality.
And of course, the interesting thing is he's disavowed this. He said, you know, I didn't read those for 10 years. I didn't know what was in those newsletters, and I had nothing to do with them. I did not endorse those policies, and I do not endorse the policies today. And they keep coming back again and again. And Newsmax, Chris Ruddy, sold out, of course, to the establishment. His magazine, his organization, simply follows the establishment's pattern of attacking the only legitimate candidate. Go right ahead.
Everything you say is true about Ron Paul disavowing these newsletters, and quite frankly, even if he hadn't, I don't think there's anything particularly scandalous contained therein. The Huffington Post, which is an appendage of AOL Time Warner, today ran a headline, a big splash headline, with Ron Paul, who's probably the most avuncular and benevolent public figure of the last century or so. He really is somebody who would have been played by Jimmy Stewart at a different age, shown in ominous silhouette, saying that his newsletters had talked about a race war. And what, of course, those newsletters have said is that given the compulsive racial collectivism of federal policy, the fact that the government that presumes to rule us insists on cattle-penning all of us into government-defined categories according to race and sex and other characteristics, that may very well lead to a race war, that there are people who have been trying for decades to arrange a race war. Now, this is somebody who's been a peacemaker, a full-spectrum peacemaker for the entire time that he has been a public figure. This is somebody who's dragged into politics reluctantly. He had been an obstetrician. He had delivered, of course, thousands of babies. He did so without receiving so much as a penny of plundered largesse from the federal government. That was a condition of the partnership that he formed in Houston when he created his practice. They were not going to receive federal subsidies. And that meant that often he simply ate the costs. He simply wrote off debts that were owed to him, or he worked out payment arrangements in cash over time, or even in kind with people who could not pay him cash up front. He subscribes to the golden rule, of course, as a Christian, and to the Hippocratic ethic as a physician. And he is an individualist by way of political convictions. He's been faithful to his convictions for as long as he's been a figure of public notice. He was brought into politics because of his understanding of Austrian economics, which is to say of free market economics rooted in hard money, and an understanding of human action, of which, of course, economics is a subsidiary doctrine, a subsidiary science. And he was outraged, and most people should be outraged, by the Nixon administration's decision in August of 1971 to sunder the last remaining connections between the dollar and gold. He understood that what that portended for the future of the country. He had been warning over the last 40 years or longer about what would happen when we were saddled with a pure fiat currency, and his predictions have come true. This is somebody who, on the basis of a sound understanding of economics and human action, and a sound understanding of politics and a reverence to the Constitution, was predicting the housing collapse over a decade ago. He's somebody who had been predicting in the late 1990s the consequences in terms of...
Hold that thought, William. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and here's our guest, William Greig, is talking about Congressman Ron Paul. And the fact that certainly Congressman Ron Paul is a man of principle, and he's being viciously attacked by all of the media, simply because of some articles that appeared in a newsletter, of which he did not write the letters. He never read the letters. They were put out, and his name was affiliated with the organization that published them, but he had no control over what was published in those newsletters. And yet, because, of course, his name was affiliated with the newsletter that published them, why, of course, they're trying to attribute the articles to him. And he just said, it's not true. I disavow them. I disagree with them. And I did not even read them for 10 years. Well, of course, that doesn't, of course, soothe the other side, because basically, now they, so they're backing the wars, which Congressman Paul opposes. They back the incredible financial policies are going to destroy this nation, and Congressman Paul has a solution. They want ever more government spending, and Congressman Paul wants to actually limit the government spending and wants to cut $1 trillion from the federal budget the first year he's in office. And they don't want to. They want to increase spending because they want to destroy this nation. And they keep hammering away. And you find the organizations pretend to be conservative, like Chris Ruddy's Newsmax, which is sold out totally to the other side. I'm so disappointed because I've always liked Chris. But when I saw them simply echoing the things put out by the Huffington Post, which incidentally has recently been bought, I think, for $300 million by certainly the other side. Was it $300 million or $30 million? I can't remember, but it's something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And basically, of course, why do you realize that a lot of people have a price, and they've paid the price, and they've bought Newsmax and everything it stands for. In fact, today, I almost sent them an email and said, please take me off your mailing list. I no longer value anything you say. And then I thought, no, I want to know what the enemy is saying, so just go ahead and keep sending it to me, and I will disparage you every time I have a chance. Go right ahead.
He's an eminently worthy target of your disparagement as well. And it's correct, entirely correct, when you talk about the fact that the doctor, he didn't attend medical school and deliver 4,000 babies to be known as Mr. He's Dr. Paul. That's the worthiest title of the many that he's acquired. Hopefully at some point he'll also acquire the title of president if God is generous and the American people are wise. But Dr. Paul has been attacked by the so-called right, beginning, of course, with the kennel-fed quasi-conservatives of a National Review and the Weekly Standard. The Weekly Standard, of course, is part of Rupert Murdoch's empire, as is the organ that calls itself Fox News. The most recent iteration of this long-standing smear began a couple of weeks ago when the whorish dimwit Sean Hannity spent 3 days doing nothing but ritualistically execrating Ron Paul with every caller and every guest. He'd obviously been given instructions, most likely printed in large letters, small words in crayon on 3x5 index cards, as befits what passes for his intellect. But every single opportunity he had, he brought up these supposedly shocking newsletters, which of course he didn't read, probably had them read to him. But he did that on radio and on television for about 3 days, about a week or so ago, a week and a half ago, when Dr. Paul became the front runner, the undeniable front runner in Iowa. And so it's obvious that the strategy here was that he had to be attacked from the right first in order for the larger establishment media to take up the same canard. So it started with Sean Hannity. The Weekly Standard amplified the smear. It spread to the National Review, which, of course, has always been operated by the CIA and the neocons. Do I repeat myself? The Wall Street Journal, and now, of course, you mentioned Chris Ruddy and Newsmax.
Don't forget Wall Street Journal, once again, is Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, Rupert Murdoch, exactly. That's part of Rupert Murdoch's seraglio.
In fact, nobody ever comments that when Rupert was in high school, he was known as Rupert the Red.
He
kept a bust of Lenin on his desk. And as an adult, he still has that bust of Lenin. He worships Lenin. Why? Because he was an all-powerful individual, of course, at that, of course, he said. And this is what it's all about. It's all about control. And Rupert Murdoch is part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. He has a vast world media empire. He's dishonest. His organization, we're tapping all sorts of telephones over in England. Of course, Rupert has said, I didn't have nothing to do with that. I didn't know what was going on. We ought to just keep talking about how Rupert Murdoch's organization violates the law over and over again, listening to illicit telephone calls. But of course, we have got better things to do than to go around attacking people like they're doing with Ron Paul today. And they will keep attacking and attacking and attacking because they fear him He's the only political candidate running for the Republican presidency who is telling the truth and who opposes the coming war with the Muslim world. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's a very important part of the story. And he's been warning about that, as I mentioned, since the mid-1990s, when he was reelected to Congress after a hiatus in which he was doing other things that he'd rather be doing. Bear in mind, this is somebody who had a life before politics and who, like any well-adjusted individual, doesn't want to make politics the measure of everything that he does. But beginning in the mid-1990s, Ron Paul was warning that we simply could not have a situation where Washington was bombing somebody every single week without expecting that there would be some, that retaliation would eventually ensue. And this is something that, once again, denotes his prescience or illustrates his prescience. He warned about the housing collapse. He warned about the financial collapse. He warned about the unfolding hostility between the United States and the Muslim world, the West in general, but the United States in particular. And this is something, of course, being orchestrated by powers behind the scenes. In recent weeks, he's gone so far as to say that the Bush administration was giddy with anticipation because the 9/11 atrocity gave them a pretext to conduct their long-planned war against Iraq. And, of course, that's manifestly the case. That's obviously true. Anybody who's actually read even some of the apologetic works that were put out by people in the administration or the journalistic fellow travelers like Bob Woodward would recognize that that characterization is essentially correct. And he's recently called out other presidential candidates for their incontinent desire to wage war against Iran and their open-ended hostility against Muslims as Muslims, not against Muslims who are terrorists in terms of their ideology or ambitions, but Muslims as Muslims. So he's somebody who's obviously an insurgent candidate in the best sense of that expression. But more to the point, Dr. Stan, they fear the movement that he represents. Dr. Paul, to his credit, has said on many occasions that the messenger, whatever you think of his imperfections, is not as important as the message. And the message is that each individual human being has rights that the law must protect, and that government, particularly the government ruling us, is the biggest threat to the dignity and freedom of the individual, and that you simply cannot assume that the government can somehow create wealth by counterfeiting money, and that you cannot make people free by engaging in aggressive war. You can't make people free abroad, nor can you maintain freedom at home. That's been his consistent message for over 40 years. That message is irrefutable, and it's found traction. And irrespective of Ron Paul, his personality, his background, his strengths, or what weaknesses he may possess, the message is what terrifies the establishment, particularly the fact that it is finding a resonance among young people, and even more particularly among young people in the military. He is by far the preferred presidential candidate from either major party of people who are either in the active duty military or recently retired veterans.
In fact, I think that 4 years ago, he got more support from the military, members of the active military, than all the rest of the political candidates put together.
Yes.
But I think one of the most important things that Ron Paul says is, so the current financial crisis, the bubbles we've seen have been caused by the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
The only solution is to liquidate the debt.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get out of debt. You know, since we have bank debt, we have personal debt, we have government debt. And the solution today is, of course, to spend more money to fight the problems with the debt by creating more debt.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, we've got to liquidate the debt. Nobody else says that, and yet it is only logical. I mean, this debt will destroy certainly contemporary civilization. You go back to biblical days, every 50 years they had a jubilee year, they did away with debt, they started it all over again. And of course the last thing they want is for the public to understand you cannot get out of debt by creating more debt. What are they doing over in Europe? Is it the countries over there, certainly Greece and Italy and Spain have massive debts, and what's the solution? Well, they're going to borrow more money. You've got a problem from debt, and you're going to get out of it by borrowing more money. Ron Paul makes sense. These other people don't, and that's why they hate him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he defies with unflinching audacity the received supposed wisdom of the establishment that You create peace through bombing, and you create prosperity through impoverishment. And he's the sort of a person I believe G.K. Chesterton might have had in mind when Chesterton said that in certain times it is a brave and revolutionary act to stand up in public and say that twice two is four. And Ron Paul, of course, insists on the sovereignty of arithmetic. And one of the things about the numbers that we're confronting here is that we're dealing with a $15 trillion national debt that is literally impossible to pay back. And the people who have profited beyond the wildest dreams of Croesus on the basis of generating this debt and expropriating the productive class consider Ron Paul and the movement that he represents to be an existential threat to their position. And they're exactly right. That's exactly what this movement represents.
And I think that people must understand, though, because Ron Paul, certain thing Ron Paul can't say that I can. And that is, there's a small clique. I mean, it's not 1%. It's probably a tenth of a percent. That's really running things. Probably not that much. But, I mean, there's just a very small number of people that are running the world. They said they have their people planted in all key positions. They control the media. They control the government, the military, the political process. And they cannot stand to be exposed. Go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Of darkness, and we can quibble over what it is, but basically we live in a controlled society. There's a small group of very wealthy and powerful people whose loyalty is not to America, but to establishing a one-world socialist government under a ruling oligarchy and imposing their rule upon us. It's certainly because, of course, they control the banking industry. They've been able to buy up the corporations. They've been able to buy up the media. They've been able, of course, to control the military by making sure nobody who really believes in America gets promoted above, say, a lieutenant colonel or colonel at the most. Certainly, they control the educational system. They've infiltrated our religious seminaries. Certainly, they work within the great tax-exempt foundations. And they control the media, ultimately. They control what the American people hear, read, and see. And the last thing they want is some upstart like Ron Paul, who's saying we've got to limit the power of government. We want to support our Constitution. We want, of course, to have individual liberty and freedom. Socialism does not work. And the last thing we want to do is become involved in a more foreign wars. We need a military to defend America. I want to support the military to defend America, but I'm against wars of aggression throughout the world. And that, of course, is an abomination to these wicked elitists who have a different vision, who want to use the military and financial power of the United States to bring about a one-world dictatorship. Our nations, we have, of course, troops stationed in 130 nations defending our empire and crushing governments and individuals who don't go along with it. If you don't think the special forces troops are out there assassinating world leaders, who do you think is killing all these people in Iran? Who is over there killing the scientists? Who's over there killing the politicians in Iran? Who is it, of course, is behind all of these bombings that we're having over there in Iraq today? Where did the explosive devices, the electronics for those explosive devices that have damaged and killed and maimed so many Americans come from? They come from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They come from Minnesota. You mean it took 10 years to figure out that these IEDs, the guidance system, came from Minnesota? How could that have happened? Go right ahead.
One of the things that is really arresting in terms of the contrast between Ron Paul and the movement he represents and conventional politics here, I think, could be summarized in juxtaposing two very brief paraphrases, not quotes, but paraphrases. I remember that when Barack Obama became the presumptive nominee back in 2008, he gave a remarkably self-exalting speech in which he said in so many words that because he was going to become the nominee and presumptively the president, that from that moment we would see the seas begin to recede and the planet begin to heal. In other words, somebody who is completely bought into the idea that he's some kind of a short-term messiah, that he's somebody who could literally command the seas and somehow through an anointing heal the planet. On the other hand, Ron Paul, just a couple of weeks ago, when it became clear that he was a serious contender in Iowa and that he was not to be dismissed as a peripheral or inconsequential protest candidate, said that he didn't want to run the world. He didn't think anybody should run the world. The presidency was a dangerous office because too much power was concentrated in it, and one of the chief tasks of a sound and constitutional chief magistrate, if you will, would be to start paring away the unconstitutional powers of the presidency. Now, this is somebody who is obviously not enraptured with himself, nor is that somebody who is aching and lusting after power. And so you've got somebody, once again, who's been perfectly true to his principles, whatever one thinks of them, and as far as I'm concerned, they're sound and unexceptionable, you can't take exception to them, principles. But even if you disagree with them, and this is something that's starting to be seen in some grudging assessments. This is the one given by Timothy Egan today in the New York Times, where they're saying that whatever you think of this guy, he plays according to the rules, and he is faithful and true to what he professes to believe. But you cannot fight him on the front of principle, and he's obviously personally not corrupt in any way, unlike, say, Newt Gingrich, for a wonderful counterexample. So what they have to do is they have to find some way of indelibly smearing him with something that will have a bad smell in the nostrils of the public, as the Communist Party said in its smear guidelines back in the 1940s. That's the kind of campaign we're seeing.
Well, I thought he handled it very well. He answered the woman's questions. She kept badgering him. He simply Turin took his microphone on, off and walked off the stage. And of course, they said, oh, what a terrible thing. But he had answered the question three different times. And she was going to keep badgering him. I, if it had been me, I would have said some very rude things.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just talking about the badgering of Congressman Ron Paul by this woman from CNN. You know what I would have said to her? I said, before I answer that question again for the fourth time, who pays your salary? Who is paying your salary to ask me these questions over and over again and to badger me? Why are you badgering me? So did you care about my methods or simply trying to use the typical media techniques to discredit anyone who supports freedom and liberty and America and our Constitution? Who is paying your salary? And I'll never forget, I used this techniques similar to that with Gloria Allred. I don't know if you've ever seen Gloria Allred.
Unfortunately, I have.
But, of course, you know, I think I'm probably the only person who ever debated Gloria Allred where she had nothing to say. Go right ahead. But, unfortunately, I'm glad that I thought Ron Paul handle that just beautifully.
Yeah,
because, of course, if it had been me, I would have been much more aggressive, nowhere near as nice as he was with this rude upstart, I mean, insignificant and woman who will do anything to keep her paycheck. Because if she told the truth and she told what was really going on, why, of course, she'd lose her job. But go right ahead.
Or she might end up losing her meal ticket, who is her husband, who works for a major war contractor. A public relations firm that is in the business of molding public opinion in a fashion compatible with the war party. I mean, your husband is somebody who is in the business of sculpting the public mind through propaganda. So whether you're talking about somebody, in this instance, the case of Gloria Borger, acting on behalf of some kind of a household entente or acting on behalf of the instructions or requirements of her employer, CNN, like pretty much everybody else, the government-aligned media, is very, very close and decently close to the military-industrial complex. But obviously, she's not acting as a journalist. She's acting as the prosecutor in a show trial. And that's something that Ron Paul understood, and that was a game he had no reason to play, and they had no right to expect him to play, and so he behaved quite appropriately. The thing I find interesting is that in 1996, which is the year when some of these newsletters, these supposedly shocking newsletters, were published containing isolated comments that are supposedly fraught with offense. That was the same year Madeleine Albright went on 60 Minutes and said that it was perfectly appropriate to kill 500,000 Iraqi children through a starvation blockade, through disease and starvation that ensued because the United States blockaded that country and thereby enhanced the power of Saddam Hussein. She was endorsing genocide. But, of course, this is entirely respectable. Now, saying, on the other hand, that the policies pursued by the federal government are going to lead to a race war is not acceptable.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, of course, but the thing is, when Ron Paul has disavowed those statements, he said, you know, certainly these were not my views. I did not write them. I did not even know what they were for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah. Of course, our guest is William Grigg. You go right ahead, though, with your discussion.
Well, you know, one of the things about this that I find interesting as well is the fact that this is not news. This is history. And once again, these newsletters, even if Ron Paul had written every syllable, and if by writing them he meant to place his imprimatur on all these supposedly shocking sentiments, you take a look at the fact that this guy has a record. It is a voluminous record, not only in terms of things that he has said, but initiatives that he has supported and positions he has taken. You've got somebody who has been very voluble. He's not at all inclined towards self-editing. He's candid to the point of being terrifyingly blunt regarding issues that are highly contested and very inflammatory. So this is not somebody who's being duplicitous or stealthy or covert in terms of his aims. He's as obvious and overt as a steam calliope. And in order to go through this guy's record and caricature him as somebody who secretly pines for a race war, it's been necessary to dispose of you could round it up to everything this man has ever written, said, or done for 40 years, and instead take a pair of scissors and tweezers in the paste pot and grab a handful of quotations out of his newsletters and then find one fleeting comment that he made in the 1995 C-SPAN interview and manufacture a pseudo-story out of this in order to fit the necessity of the news cycle here and the imperative, which is to smear and denigrate Ron Paul. Once again, there are huge volumes of videotape and digital video available in which Ron Paul has said in great detail things that are completely contradictory to the caricature which is being portrayed here. For instance, there is available on YouTube a remarkable video from just a few years ago in which Dr. Paul is discussing the horrible impact of the so-called war on drugs on generation, basically two generations now, generation after generation of young black men, that there are racist inequities written into the official federal drug control policy. There are sentencing guidelines with respect to crack cocaine that are, as far as I can tell, deliberately structured to bring about inequities in sentencing as compared to powder cocaine. If you're somebody who is a poor black man, young man, living in an urban area in the United States, and you become addicted to this substance, which is admittedly a horrible substance, this substance called crack cocaine, and you're caught in possession of crack cocaine, you're likely to get a sentence two or three times as heavy as a white urban professional whose preferred recreational drug is powder cocaine. That's the sort of thing Ron Paul was talking about with great vehemence and passion and talking about the fact that this is an obvious injustice. In the larger context of a discussion which he was talking about the fact that in a society that was devoted to the preservation of individual liberty, there would be no officially sanctioned or officially licensed discrimination. There would be no officially sanctioned or officially licensed privileges. The rights of the individual would be protected, and people would be allowed freely to associate. And one of the characters that you're hearing from the left, and of course these are things that are the obvious result of bad faith, is the idea that Ron Paul would permit people to discriminate. The question is not whether you would permit people to discriminate. The question is by what authority you would forbid them to. If the government can compel an association, then a government, the same government, can forbid an association on the basis of race or sex or any other characteristic. You know, government does not have the moral authority, let alone the constitutional warrant, to be defining with whom people can associate or to whom they can offer their goods or services, their products, their rental properties and things of that sort. And this is the same point that Rand Paul made in his successful Senate campaign. And Rand Paul endured a somewhat lower grade version of the same type of treatment that his father has received for the same reason, and that is that he was talking about the necessity of protecting the individual, the rights of the individual, and how collectivism always ends up envenoming social relationships and creating the type of hostility that is often lovingly nurtured by the same people who supposedly are the paladins of tolerance. And these hostilities, these tensions, eventually will coalesce into movements to bring about the advantage of one collective group over another. And in short order, you find yourself in a society that is riven with race or ethnic hatreds and feuds and even outright bloodshed. That's the story we've seen in Lebanon. That's the story we've seen in the Balkans. That story has played itself out in a number of other places in the world. And here in the United States, we've been largely spared that same type of violence because as badly as things have been managed here, we've not fully succumbed to the same type of militant collectivism that you see in these other countries. But that has changed, and it's an ominous development in relatively recent history. I remember at the same time Ron Paul was talking about, or supposedly Ron Paul was talking about, of course, as you say, Dr. Stabius disavowed the content of these newsletters. They were ghostwritten. This was a publishing project in which his role was ancillary. But at the same time these newsletters came out containing all these supposedly frightful things about the dangers of racial collectivism, you had people like Warren Christopher, the Bela Lugosi lookalike, who'd been the Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, wandering around Bosnia in 1995, December 1995, he went to Bosnia, and this is a country that had been torn apart in a horrible tripartite civil war because this country had been cobbled together as a social engineering project held together by force under Tito, under the iron heel of a communist dictatorship and oligarchy. And when Tito died, you had the Wars of Baltic Secession ensue, and horrible things were done by all three parties to each other on the basis of conveniently revived and catalyzed ancient hatred. And so you had a situation where the so-called international community, meaning the United Nations and NATO and the United States military, invaded and occupied that country to hold it together, to reconstitute this artificially cobbled together collective identity. And through the force of foreign occupation, they were going to be held together and forced to refrain from killing each other. Warren Christopher deplaned in Sarajevo and said that Bosnia was the model multicultural country, with an ear completely deaf to the irony of what he was saying. Multiculturalism, that isn't the same thing as talking about a multi-ethnic society. Multiculturalism is a type of collectivism in which differences define your role in society as government apportions favors and privileges to various groups.
But of course, William, this is exactly what they've done with Iraq. I mean, basically, yeah. There are three separate groups there, all of whom hate one another, the Shias, the Sunnis, and the Kurds. And what they should do if they want peace in that area is simply allow them to separate, to be individual organizations, exactly the same thing there in Serbia, but they would not allow that. They wanted conflict. In fact, what's really so interesting about that is that Al-Qaeda was there working in that area with Bosnia, and we were backing Al-Qaeda. Yeah. We were backing Al-Qaeda there. We backed Al-Qaeda over in Kosovo. We backed Al-Qaeda in their attacks in Soviet Union, I think it was Chechnya. And, of course, we are backing Al-Qaeda in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Syria, in Libya, and we're fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. All 50 members of Al-Qaeda, 50 members of Al-Qaeda. There we get 500,000 people fighting 50 members of Al-Qaeda. And Al-Qaeda is being funded by the Pakistani ISI, and we are funding, America is funding the Pakistani ISI. Where is the outcry from our political leaders? I mean, William, this is so incredible. I mean, certainly you and I can see it. Our listeners can see it. Why can't anybody at the New York Times or the Washington Post or the leaders of either political party understand there's an inconsistency with financing and helping Al-Qaeda throughout the world, fighting it in Afghanistan, but there's only 50 members, and they're being funded, of course, through the Pakistani intelligence that we are funding. It doesn't make sense, or maybe it does. Go ahead.
Well, depending upon one's paradigm, it may make perfect sense if your objectives have something to do with maintaining a conflict for purposes other than the stated reasons for that conflict. If your purpose is to exacerbate conflict rather than evade it, then it makes perfect sense. But one of the reasons why the paladins of truth and purity in the media don't talk about such things is that they want us to share their pretended outrage over these things that were published in Ron Paul's newsletters a decade and a half ago. I mean, that of course is the focus of attention because the memo went out and the smear ensued. That's how things work in the so-called free press. But the thing about the Bosnia example, and Iraq is a really good example as well, is that this is a perfect illustration in Leviathan, not microcosm, in Leviathan, of the sort of thing that Ron Paul has talked about with regard to domestic policy and discrimination and why the government-imposed anti-discrimination policies are essentially totalitarian. These are peoples, the peoples in Iraq and the peoples in Bosnia and other places where these social engineering projects are underway, who are not allowed to dissociate from a polity through secession. There have been peaceful secessions. Good grief, just, 15, 16, 17 years ago, the Czech Republic and Slovakia peacefully separated. They do business with each other. They no longer are part of the same polity, but they have a very amicable diplomatic and economic relationship. There's commerce that goes on between them and among people on both sides of that new national divide. And nobody is hurt, and everybody's more prosperous. there are other examples that one could talk about where secession has been arranged for reasons that are much less in venom than the sort of hatreds and animosities we see in the cobbled-together pseudo-nation of Iraq and the even more ridiculous amalgam that was Yugoslavia, or now the Bosnian and other successor regimes to Yugoslavia. But this is all going on in the mid-1990s when these newsletters were put out, and one of the themes of these newsletters was the evil of multiculturalism, which is forced association at gunpoint among people who may not necessarily want to associate with each other. And we're supposed to be scandalized that people who believe in individual rights would say that one of the basic rights of the individual is to choose with whom you will associate, whether you're talking about a club or a church or a sports team or a business. You have to have that right to associate. And, of course, because Ron Paul insists on that, he's violating the foundational premise of collectivism, which is that the people are part of a mass to be molded as our supposed superiors, the political elite, would be fit. And that includes killing as many of us as they deem necessary. The way that one becomes respectable in this system is to support bloodshed, is to support the systematic slaughter through bombing and through famine and through disease of people who are designated an enemy. If Ron Paul at any point in his career had done this road to Damascus in reverse, if you will, in which he embraced the idea of foreign bloodshed and domestic intervention, no matter what he had done or said in his past, however reprehensible, he would have been commended for his growth in office and his new sophistication. You become part of the serious set. You become one of the serious people if you casually endorse genocide in Iraq the way Madeleine Albright did, or the way that Leon Panetta just did about a week ago when he was talking about the fact that there had been hundreds of thousands of Iraqis who were killed or driven from their homes just since 2003. And, of course, 1991, the numbers in the millions, $1 trillion or more is spent. We've had thousands of Americans who were killed. We have tens of thousands who were seriously wounded. We probably have many tens of thousands beyond that who have serious psychological problems because of this war. But according to Herr Panetta, it was all worth it. And that, of course, would come as news to the people in Iraq and elsewhere who have lost their homes, their families, their loved ones. But if you casually endorse murder, mayhem, terror, torment as state policy, that's how you become serious. It's really interesting as well to reflect on the fact that Barney Frank, who is, as I pointed out last week, human being who's abominable in just about every way that human being can be considered abominable, announced his retirement. And he mentioned that there were two regrets that he had. And, of course, this is a guy who was running a brothel out of his taxpayer-funded apartment in Washington, D.C., where his homosexual red boy was bringing in customers and otherwise violating laws, the sort of thing for which Congressman Frank, I guess Congress Thing would be a better description, should have gone to prison. But he was given the lightest of all possible rebukes and allowed to continue his campaign against all things good and decent as a congressman from Massachusetts. But he said there are two things that he regretted, the first of which was that he regretted his vote against the Iraq War in 1991. In other words, he missed an opportunity to be in on the killing. The other thing he regretted was that he had supported a piece of legislation that, in a very minimal way, restrained the powers of the IRS. So the two things that haunt what passes for Barney Frank's soul by way of regrets over his public career are that, first of all, he missed an opportunity to endorse the killing of people who had done us no harm, and secondly, that he had done something to constrict, however modestly, the ambitions of the tax farmers and the domestic terrorists who were employed by the IRS. That's a really good example of somebody who's considered respectable, an individual who spent his political career as a panderer and a plunderer, who had allowed his taxpayer-subsidized apartment to be a playground for his hired catamite, and somebody who expressed regrets that he wasn't zealous enough in feeding the warfare welfare state and enabling those who terrorized productive people into coughing up their revenue so that the government can fund all these enterprises. But he's considered respectable, whereas a man like Ron Paul, who has been nothing but consistently decent and principled for as long as he's been a figure of public consequence, is supposed to be considered unsuitable for polite company because of a handful of things that appeared in these newsletters 15 years ago or longer ago in the past, that on their face were not that shocking and that he, in any case, did not write and disavowed. That's how things operate in the reality-free zone that is the officially sanctioned realm of public opinion in what used to be the land of the free and home of the brave.
It really is amazing, you know, and they will keep hammering away and hammering it away at that because that's all they can find. Basically, they're never going to discuss what his ideas are other than the fact he's an isolationist. An isolationist is somebody who doesn't want to go overseas killing people and, of course, destroying the economic welfare of this country. Basically, of course, we're already wasted. They say that probably the Iraq war, by the time it's paid for completely in years ahead, taking care of all the veterans and repairing the military, we're talking about $3 or $4 trillion, ladies and gentlemen. $3 or $4 trillion. And of course, Ron Paul is the enemy of the establishment because he doesn't want to continue certainly bankrupting our nation. He doesn't want us killing a lot of Muslims over there. He's against going to war with 1.2 or 1.5 billion Muslims, and that is a crime that the establishment will never forgive him for. He wants peace. William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Dr. Stan, once again, it's always a blessing to be with you. I deeply appreciate this opportunity.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com.
Oh,
many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.